Today it's my pleasure to introduce David Williams. He'll be speaking to us today. I got to know David and his family at our youth basketball league that we help volunteer at up at Lighthouse Baptist. I was Daniel's coach. We won the championship. David is the minister at Baptist Collegiate Ministries at Vallis Estate. He spent 8 years that I learned this morning as a pastor at Iron City. If you know where that is, raise your hand. Not too many people. It's between Donaldsonville and Bainbridge. But I'm excited to hear from him. He's been at the campus ministry here for the past couple years now. And this morning was great learning about what they do and just the activities going on there. And again, I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say today. David, come on up.
Well, good morning, everyone. They don't make pulpits quite my height, so don't mind me. But I appreciate you raising the microphone up for me. Yes, sir. Man, it's good to be here. It is always good to worship with fellow believers and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Man, it's good. Ben said, my name is David Williams, and it's an honor to be with you. Y'all's little boy is Peter. He's getting baptized next Sunday. Joe and Liz are getting baptized. Okay, I'm there now. Well, my little boy is getting baptized next Sunday, Daniel, and so we're excited for him, and so that's pretty neat. It's pretty special. Amen. It's good stuff. Well, let me pray for us. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, it is an honor to stand before you and to stand before your people to bring your word. And God, I do pray that you would bless this time as we open up your word, that you'd speak to our hearts, and God, you would draw us close to you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Well, this morning, one of the things I want to do is I want to address a topic, rather a question that a lot of people have. If you're a follower of the Lord, you have probably been asked this question or maybe wrestled with this question on your own. And it's really that question of, can a person lose their salvation? If you've walked with Jesus for any amount of time, you've probably made a few mistakes in your life. This is yes. And if you weren't properly trained in what Scripture says along those lines, you probably wrestled with that question. Did I do something to lose my salvation? Did I make a mistake or commit a sin that led me to losing my salvation? And of course, if you've interacted with people who call themselves believers for any amount of time, they will eventually ask you that question as well as, can I lose my salvation? When I was pastoring in Iron City, the metropolis of Iron City, about a total of 300 people in the town, up the road were a lot of independent Baptists. And what would happen over time is independent Baptists would kind of trickle into our church family, which was good and beautiful and wonderful. But what they also brought with them was the belief that you could lose your salvation. The idea that if they had done something in a moment, that they could lose their salvation and they needed to be resaved again. And so we would have to help them work through that. And so this morning I may be helping you work through that as well. But I want to talk to you just a little bit about why it's so important that we really have a firm understanding about this issue. If you believe that you can lose your salvation, guys, one of the things it does is it actually hinders your walk with Jesus. You can't fully trust and love a Savior that will kick you out the door every time you do something wrong. I've been married to my beautiful bride, Jennifer, for 13 years, coming in June, really close. And we have two beautiful boys, Davis and Daniel, 8 and 6. And one of the things that I know for a fact, and hopefully you know as well, that trust is what makes a marriage work. Trust is what makes a relationship work. If I always went behind her and checked her phone and looked through who she's been talking to and her text messages and her social media, that would show that I didn't trust her at all, wouldn't it? And in fact, if she knew I was doing those things, she wouldn't trust me either, and she'd look behind me. And I'd say, well, she doesn't trust me, and I don't trust her. And you know what that would do? That would hinder our relationship, wouldn't it? So trust matters in a relationship. And it's no different with our relationship with God. If we want to have a full, committed, wholehearted relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to fully trust Jesus and fully trust that He trusts us as well, because He's holding us. And so what's really cool is that God is fully committed to the relationship. That's a good word. God is fully committed to the relationship when we give our life to Him. Another reason that is very important to us is if the eternal security wasn't a thing, if Jesus didn't fully hold us, then it would literally call into question everything that the Bible teaches about God, Jesus, salvation, and everything from Genesis to Revelation. And so if I've tipped my hand, I did so on purpose because I want you to see that Scripture is abundantly clear that if you have actually given your life to Jesus, then you are actually saved forever and ever. Amen. And so this morning what we're going to talk about is three things how we know what we know about salvation and eternal security. And I'm going to tell you the 3 points up front and then we'll dive right into them. So we know this about salvation, that salvation is given by Christ. It is maintained by Christ, and it is sealed by Christ. Given, maintained, and sealed. So we'll bounce through a whole bunch of scriptures, and so you are welcome to jump in those. Some of those will be abundantly familiar, and you can listen with your ears. Others of those will be a little more difficult, and you can pick them up by flipping there. So the very first one, given by Christ. What we know about salvation is that salvation is a free gift from God given to us by Jesus Christ through faith alone. That there's nothing we could ever do to earn salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus gave it, we received it. That's how that works. Beautiful verse. You should know it by now if you've been walking with Jesus for any amount of time. John chapter 3 verse 16. Shall we say it together? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So what were the parameters for salvation? That you believe in Him, and that He would give you, this, we can go back and forth there, eternal life, amen. He didn't say, I'm going to give you temporary life, I'm going to give you life for a time, and then I'm going to take it away. He didn't say, hey, let me give you eternal life and see if you mess up. He didn't say that, did he? He says, I give you eternal life. He didn't say, I give you temporary life. I give you eternal life. And so when a person believes and receives in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they receive eternal life given by Jesus Himself. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, it says, you will be saved. Did y'all catch what the scriptures are saying? If you, as a human being, confess Jesus and believe that Christ rose from the grave, Scripture promises that you will be saved. And Scripture, right here in other places, tells us that this is an eternal salvation. And so salvation is not based upon anything you do or earn for salvation. It is based upon what Christ has done for you because He gives it to you when you receive. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I have a church background, a church upbringing, and I'm incredibly thankful for that. There's been many a times where I have asked Jesus into my life. It's when you're a little boy and the preacher comes in and he gives the invitation and to receive Christ, and you're like, well, I'm not real sure if I'm saved or not right now, and so let me ask Jesus into my life one more time. I don't encourage that. Salvation is a one-time moment. It's a one-time deal. You ask Christ into your life and then you're forever saved. But I would ask Christ into my life over and over again. And at 14, all my friends were getting baptized. Like, I need to get baptized too. So I got baptized at 14. And then I went to Israel, and everybody else was in Israel getting baptized where Jesus was getting baptized. And I thought, well, I should get baptized where Jesus was getting baptized. So I got baptized in Israel. And then about a year ago, I got convicted because my baptism was on the wrong side of my salvation. I actually came to know Jesus full-time, wholeheartedly, after I had gotten baptized. I thought, well, I need to follow in the first step of obedience of baptism after my salvation. And so I got baptized a year ago. But you know what? All of those baptisms, not a one of them saves me. The only thing that can save me, and the only thing that can save you, is if you've believed in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I think it's a beautiful picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Guys, guess what? You cannot be unadopted by Jesus. Once you are adopted into the family of God, you are forever adopted into the family of God. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that you must be born again. So if you were born again, guess what? You can't be unborn. You are forever born again. That in Corinthians, it talks about the fact that if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So you can't just decide one day, hey, I'm no longer a new creation. No, Jesus is the one who it gives you salvation and makes you a new creation. At Christmas time, we give our children gifts, and hopefully you've done that for your children over the years, and maybe your parents even did that for you when you were growing up. But can you imagine if me as a parent on Christmas morning would allow my kids to open up their Christmas gifts? And then somewhere between Christmas morning and Christmas lunch, they did something that made me so mad that I took all the gifts back. That'd be a pretty mean father, wouldn't it? We don't do that because my love for them and my giving of those gifts for them is not based upon what they did and how much they make me happy. My love for them is based upon the fact that I love them as their father and I would never take those gifts back. Those are gifts given to them. And so salvation is a gift given to us by our loving Father based upon His love for us and our receiving of that love. Romans chapter 11 verse 29 says, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That's beautiful. You can't take your gift of salvation and say, here you go, God, I'm returning this. And God's never going to look at you and say, I'm going to need that back. Because salvation was never based upon what you did to begin with. It was only based upon what Jesus did for you. So salvation is a gift given by God. The second thing salvation is salvation is maintained by Jesus Christ. One of the beautiful things we know about salvation is that while we live this earth, Jesus is literally maintaining our salvation. He is holding us secure. He is the one who is with us through the highs and through the lows and through all the valleys that we live as human beings. There are going to be trials, there's going to be temptations, there are going to be troubles, but through all of that, Jesus Christ promises in Scripture that He maintains our salvation. He is the one who holds our salvation secure. And so we will have all of these things go on in life, but Jesus has promised that He will make sure we cross the finish line. Jude chapter 24, verse 24 says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless, stand in His glory, blameless with great joy. Hear what that passage of Scripture says, Jude chapter 24. He is able to keep you from stumbling. He is going to make you stand in the presence of the King. Did it say you would do that for yourself? No. It says that Jesus is going to be the one who keeps you from stumbling in life. He's going to be sure that you cross the finish line and you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. John chapter 10, verses 28, 29, Jesus says Himself, He says, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Who can take salvation from you? No one, because you can't go to heaven and take it out of the Father's hand. Who can take salvation from you? No one, because you can't take it out of the hand that gave it to you, Jesus Christ. The Word of God makes it abundantly clear that while you're living this life, the salvation is yours and is yours for all of eternity. You've heard the phrase, once saved, always saved. Well, a better phrasing of that is, if you're actually saved, you're always saved. Amen? We know a lot of people who claim to be Christians and claim to be saved, but their life doesn't look any different. I'm not addressing those people. I'm addressing people who've actually asked Jesus into their life, who've actually seen the Holy Spirit fruit living coming out of their life and who need to be reminded that Jesus still loves them. So we fought. One of the interesting things I think that we bump into as believers is we think that when we sin, God puts us away. The relationship with God may be hindered, but it's not forever broken. If my son one day, when he grows up, looks me in the eye and points and shakes his finger at me, says, Dad, I hate you. I never want to see you again. And he leaves me. Does my love for him stop? No. Does my relationship with him end? No. Is it hindered? Yes. But I'm still the father, he's still my son, and I still love him, no matter what he does. Because salvation is not based upon me and how much I love God. It's actually based upon Jesus and how much he loves us. So salvation is maintained by Jesus Christ. A lot of times we think we're better human beings than we actually are. You ever bumped into people like that? Right here, number one. And I go through life and I think, man, I'm doing pretty good. Me and God, we got a good relationship going on, and I'm in my word, and I'm teaching people about Jesus, and I got a lot of good things going on, and man, God must be really proud of me. You ever had crazy thoughts like that before? Sure. We're all human. If we're not careful, we'll start thinking more of ourselves than we should. Especially when it comes to salvation. But here's the truth of it is we really sat and thought about our life and we compared what God has called us to do as believers, we would realize that, man, the heart is just exceedingly wicked. Some of the thoughts that run through my mind, I'm like, where did that come from? Some of the things that people say to me and make me angry and frustrated and the way I want to react, I'm like, whew, man, stay down attitude. You see, salvation, it cannot be based upon maintaining a right relationship with Christ because we are incapable of maintaining a right relationship with Christ. We can't be perfect. We can't always have it together. You can't always have the right thoughts and have the right intentions and say the right things and do the right things because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. That there is no one righteous, no, not one. That our good works are like filthy rags in the eyes of God. And so salvation was never based upon what you did to begin with. It was always based upon what Jesus did for you so that you could be saved. You can't flip the script and say salvation is more about me and what I do than about Christ and what he did. Then salvation is about you and not Jesus. So Jesus maintains us through it all. Some other great passages of scripture that go along with this, Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Man, amen, 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 amen. You know what I need every day? Give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Y'all know the hymn, don't you? Give me Jesus. If I could sing, I'd sing it for you. Give me Jesus. In the morning when I wake up, in the time when I go to bed, and everything in between, just give me Jesus. Jesus, what did he say? It's apart from me, you can do nothing. And how could you ever say, man, I think I could lose my salvation. How could you ever say that God no longer loves you? Because Jesus has promised that he is going to be with us. He's going to carry us on to completion. He's going to make that good work he started in you as salvation. He's going to perfect you all the way up to glory. Just give me Jesus. I need him so much, guys. I can't do this life without Jesus. The passage of scripture Brother Darrell read earlier, Romans chapter 8, verses 39 and 38 and 39. Paul says, "I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything created will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's nothing that can separate you from Jesus. Some of you need to be reminded of that. Some of you need to be reminded that you may have sin in your past, but Jesus still loves you. Some of you need to be reminded that you may have sin in your present, but Jesus still loves you. Some of you need to be reminded that you have the gospel message of Jesus, and there's people out there who need to hear that. See, one of the beautiful things we have as believers, we have a calling on our lives to make sure that people know that Jesus loves them. So if you've heard this before and this is familiar to you and you're thinking, I hear you, preacher, this doesn't apply to me, I pray God put somebody in front of you this week who says, man, I just don't know about being in church anymore. I had a pastor who said this or a friend who said this and I don't trust God. God let this happen in my life. I want you to take them to Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39, and I want you to present to them the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can be saved through Jesus. And then once they're saved through Jesus, that Jesus will never leave them, never forsake them, never let them go, and they can always have the hope of Jesus with them. The Word of God promises over and over again that you will have trials and troubles in this life, but take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus maintains us and holds us secure in our salvation. The third one, we are sealed by Christ. In other words, your place in heaven is sealed. The beautiful thing about salvation, we may get saved here on this earth, and I pray that we do. And what's interesting, a lot of times when people get saved on this earth, we encourage them, and we want them to grow in their faith. And then we'll begin to give them positions in the church and perhaps even teaching opportunities. And all of those things are good. But what's most beautiful about salvation is that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That we are sealed in heaven in the presence of God. The devil has no authority in heaven. The devil can't march up to heaven and demand your name be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. He has no authority to do so. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." In other words, once your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are sealed forever. No one can ever unseal your name. No one can ever remove your name from the Lamb's Book of Life. There is not an eraser in heaven where God is sitting there constantly erasing people's names who have sinned against Him. Amen. Praise God. Can you imagine that scene in heaven? There's a giant book. It'd have to be huge and really, really big and has all the names of all the people who've ever confessed Christ. And somebody is standing there with an eraser in heaven and going, "Oh, he sinned today. Oh, he's back. Oh, he sinned today. He's back." It just is ludicrous. It doesn't even make sense. The Word of God says that we are sealed. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. We are sealed for the day of redemption. And what God has sealed, no one will unseal. I don't fully understand everything that happens in the book of Revelation. And if you do, good for you. But I think there's a really beautiful picture of the seal in Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. The writer says, "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals.'" Now, it's talking about a different set of seals, but I think it's pretty appropriate, and it goes right along with the Word of God, that when something is sealed in heaven, it can't be unsealed. So John is having this moment in heaven where he's standing around and God is revealing revelation to him. And he sees what is the final outpouring of the wrath of God. And he sees this scroll, but the scroll is sealed up. And he says, he begins to weep because no one can break the seals. Who does he say can break the seals? Only Jesus. Only the Lamb of God. Only the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So here's what Scripture promises, that you are sealed by God for all of eternity and that no one can break that seal. There's only one worthy who could do it, but he never will, as he promises he gives you the seal of life for all of eternity. I think there's a beautiful childlike picture in some ways. Did you ever tell your kids words are like toothpaste? Once the words come out of the toothpaste, you can't put them back in. The salvation is just like that. If you've actually confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then guess what? You are forever sealed for all of eternity. You can't turn it over. You can't give it up. No one can snatch it from you. No one can snatch it from God. It is forever sealed in heaven for all of eternity. I can just imagine all of our names, those that have confessed Christ, being written in that Lamb's Book of Life. I want to sing another hymn, but I can't sing "When We All Get to Heaven." Amen. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. Oh, we'll sing in victory. See, eternal security and knowing that you are saved for all of eternity, despite what you may do on earth, is not a license to sin. It is not a hey, I'm saved so I can go do what I want. It's actually the opposite of that. If you believe that you're saved and yet you go do what you want, then you're proving that you don't actually love Jesus, that you're not actually saved. And so eternal security is more of a comfort to the believer that, hey, God is not watching you and waiting for you to mess up so he can step on you or push you to the side or kick you out. That's not what eternal security is about. Eternal security is so that you can know that God loves you no matter how much you mess up. And so it's not a license to sin and to go and to live your life how you want and say, ah, I got my salvation card. I got my get out of hell jail free card. I can go live how I want. That's not what eternal security is about. It actually, if you believe that, you're actually showing that you're not saved. If I told my wife I loved her, but I never did anything to show her I loved her, would you say that I loved her? And so what we do and the fruit that we produce as believers is evidence of our salvation. And if the fruit you produce is, I can go do whatever I want because I'm saved now, it's evidence of the fact that you don't actually love God. And so it's not a license to sin, rather it's a comfort to the believer so that they can live confidently in their walk with Jesus. There's another thing that people often say when it comes to this idea of eternal security. It's like, well, I know you can lose your salvation because I knew a pastor one time who he was just super strong in the Lord. And then he did this and he did this and he did this. And now he's not even walking with Jesus anymore. Let me go back to my old saying. If you're actually saved, then you're always saved. It's not if you call yourself saved, then you're always saved. Because Jesus will give you salvation, maintain your salvation, and seal your salvation for all of eternity. And so, a lot of times we want to take our experiences and lay them over Scripture and say, well, this happened, so therefore this must be true about God's Word. But the reality is God's Word tells us how life should happen. And so when it comes to eternal security, we must remember that it is given by Jesus, maintained by Jesus, and sealed by Jesus for all eternity. Last few verses, Revelation chapter 20. At the very end, verses 12 through 15, the writer says, "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead, which were in them, and they were judged. Every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." You see, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that there is a real place called heaven and a real place called hell. And what you do with Christ determines where you'll spend the next. And so either Jesus is the Lord of your life, the Savior of your life, or he's not. There's not a middle ground. There's not an in-between. There's not a, I'm okay with God, so surely he's okay with me. It's either you're saved by Jesus Christ for all of eternity, or you're not saved at all. The Bible says right here in Revelation chapter 20, the verse we just read, that if your name was not found written in the book of life, they were thrown into the lake of fire. So I don't know where you're at today with your walk with Jesus. Maybe you have turned your back on Jesus and said, I don't want anything to do with him anymore. But today, you can see just how much God loves you when you turn back to him and receive that grace and forgiveness. You may be here today and thought, man, I believe that you could lose your salvation for a long time. But God's word is convincing me otherwise, and I need to repent of that. And there may be some people that you need to call and explain about God's goodness. Guys, you may be here today and you just think, I don't even know anything about this Jesus or anything about salvation, but I need to get saved today. Today you can do that. Here's the beauty of the gospel. God's perfect and we're not. And the only way we can get to heaven is if we're perfect. But you cannot be perfect. So the beauty of the gospel is this, is that God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to live a perfect, sinless life, to die in our place, to receive our punishment of sin and death and the wrath of God when Jesus died on the cross in our place. The Bible tells us on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave, conquering sin and death, and making a way for all to be saved if they would call upon the name of Jesus. That is the hope of the gospel. The only way to Jesus, the only way to heaven, the only way to have eternal security and eternal life with Jesus is by believing in the name of Jesus. Today, do you need to believe in the name of Jesus? If you're a believer here today, maybe you just need to take a moment and say thank you, Jesus, for eternal life. Be reminded of the joy of your salvation and hold fast to that which has been given to you, which is being maintained by Christ, and which is sealed in heaven for all of eternity. Let me pray for us. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for the hope of heaven. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross, paying our sins penalty, raising from the dead, and offering eternal life to all those here. Lord, I pray right now, if there's any in this room that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, would you convict them of their sin and help them come to that place of believing and receiving in Jesus. And if you're here this morning, would you be encouraged that no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, there's always grace and forgiveness and hope in the name of Jesus. And may you go to him and receive that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.